The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
All right, bro, welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 167. A few quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. If you haven't already, if you're listening on audio, please leave us a five-star rating and review. It helps us out a whole lot. And if you do leave a five-star rating and review, send me an email. My email's in the show notes, and I'll reply back to you with a free training on how to find and evaluate potential real estate deals. All right. And if you're on YouTube, make sure you like, hit the subscribe button, share with a friend, and I look forward to hearing from you. So before we jump in, just want to read a recent review that came in from Patrick Marone. Patrick says, "I appreciate this episode so much. I also work a W-2 job and work on my real estate on the side. I'm always on the fence of taking off, running away from my W-2 and or keeping it for security. This podcast has been influential on my real estate journey and increasing my assets. Thank you and keep doing it for us." Patrick, appreciate you, man. Make sure you shoot me an email. I look forward to hearing from you. All right. So this is going to be a solo episode. And there's recent news that I wanted to talk about. So Blackstone just closed a $30.4 billion real estate fund, the largest real estate fund ever. So the way we're going to do it is I'll just give a little bit of context on this fund. I'll talk a little bit about Blackstone, and I'll talk about what we should be thinking about as investors. A lot of people like to maybe clickbait or talk about why you should be scared of when these things happen. If you've been listening long enough, you know I'm all about solutions. So I'm going to talk about how you can take advantage of what they're about to do and what they're planning to do, and some of the things you should be considering as an investor based on this latest fund. So one thing I wanted to know as well is that Blackstone in recent years has shifted their strategy. So they've moved away from office space, they moved away from malls, and they're now concentrated 80% in logistics, in rental housing, hospitality, lab office, and data centers. So that says a whole lot, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But just a little bit of backstory on Blackstone. So Blackstone, they are known as a global leader in real estate investing. It was founded about 30 years ago, and they have $326 billion of investor funds under management. And they are the largest owner of commercial real estate, and they own and operate across the whole world pretty much in logistics, residential, office, hospitality, and retail. So, you know, they're a really, really big company, very well-known company. So I encourage you to do some more research, and I'll also link an article just detailing what they're doing. So a lot of people have taken issue with what are called corporate landlords, and you know, these large companies, these large hedge funds and things of that nature, buying up a lot of residential housing, buying up a lot of single family housing. And on one hand, I can definitely understand, you know, if it's in your local area, what that might feel like and some of the challenges that may bring. But I encourage you to think about it in a different way. So one of the things that was mentioned in the article I read is that one of the focuses as Blackstone is shifting their strategy is residential housing. So the first thing that I think about is that means, I mean, think about it, right? This is a company that has hundreds of billions of dollars invested across various sectors of real estate. And here they are taking a focus in residential housing, rental housing. So to me, that means it's probably a good time to be investing in rental housing if they are going to put so much of their resources in that direction. So one of the things I would say is, like, as more information comes out about this Blackstone fund, hopefully they share where they're investing, the type of housing they're investing in, the cities they're investing in, and how much they are buying. If they're buying hundreds or if they're buying thousands of properties in that particular city, maybe it means you look either in that city or in the surrounding areas, right? Because think about it. They don't just blindly invest. They have teams and they pay people a lot of money to research opportunities to make sure that they will receive a return, that their investors will receive a return. So I definitely encourage you to keep up, you know, find out where they're investing, find out if it's single family, if it's small multifamily, like stay tapped in and make sure you find out. You might even want to set up a Google search for Blackstone so that anytime they do something, you're able to be in the know. So that's the first thing I would say. And it reminds me of something that somebody once told me. It's the Starbucks or the McDonald's rule or Chick-fil-A. And basically the rationale is that if a company like that is opening a location in a particular area, then there's a reason, right? They wouldn't open something in an area where they wouldn't receive a return. So if you see a Starbucks, if you see a McDonald's, if you see even a Chick-fil-A or a place like that in a certain area or that's coming to a certain area, that's something that you want to keep your eye on. So again, they wouldn't, you know, there's so much data that goes into selecting where to open a location, and I'm pretty sure their success rate is relatively high. So these are the things that you should consider. And it brings up a broader point. You know, I've talked many times about market research. It's very important to stay tapped into your local market, or if you want to invest out of state in that particular market, you should be knowing, you know, what are the developments happening as far as infrastructure, as far as like roads and highways, are they making improvements to those things, parks, things of that nature? What companies are coming? You know, what retail stores are coming? Like, all of these things play a part in figuring out where is the right place to invest. You always want to invest where there's movement, where there's things that are going forward. You don't want to invest blindly in a place that might be cheap, and you're thinking because it's cheap, it's a good place to invest, but it's a dying city. That's not what you want to do. So keep that rule in mind. And so, you know, I just wanted to hop on and encourage you all. You know, a lot of people, there's a lot of fear mongering whenever these big funds are investing in residential real estate and things of that nature. I believe there's enough real estate in the country for all of us to have a piece, right? And the overarching point is that if these funds are investing in residential real estate, then that means we should too, right? And so that's all I wanted to say today. I'm not fear mongering. I'm not going to tell you not to invest or it's a bad time or anything like that. I like to bring a different perspective to it. All right. So I'm going to keep y'all tapped in. I will share more information as I receive it. Let me know what y'all think. Drop a comment below and I'll talk to you guys soon. Before we go, if you're on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. And if you're on audio, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Share this with a friend who will find this valuable. Hopefully this encouraged you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.